Hey everybody, Jim Edwards here, and welcome back to the Sales Copywriting and Content Marketing Hacks Podcast. We are at episode 115. With me today, I have my trusty co-host, producer, and partner, Mr. Stu Smith. Welcome, Stu.
Thank you, Jim.
How's it going?
Excellent.
All right. Well, I'm more excited than a dill pickle on a... I can't even think what it is, so I'm more excited than a dill pickle. Dill pickle spear on a 4th of July picnic. What do we got? What do we got? What are we doing today, Stu?
All right. So podcast 115 will discuss failures and successes in business, the natural progression. So a couple weeks ago, you made a comment and I wrote it down, right? Because that's what you're supposed to do when you hear things that are like, damn, that's good. So you said every failure has been the seeds or something.
Every failure carries with it the seed of
a greater
benefit. And in my life, every major failure had the seed of my greatest triumph in it.
Yes. You said, here's the quote. Every failure has been the seed sown of the greatest triumph. Of my greatest triumph. So anyway, every failure brought on a great triumph. We get it. So we all have a story that we have, you know, heard, whether it's one of your own or it is somebody that you admire, you know, and their will and consistent focus on achievement of a goal after rising up from the ashes. So that's basically where I want to go with this. So it's kind of part motivation, part explanation of the process that is required, you know, to succeed.
Right.
Yeah.
So interestingly enough, I had a guy say something to me, gosh, it's got to be 15 years ago. And I looked at him at the time, I looked at him and I just shook my head. I didn't really understand where he was coming from. But now 15 years later, I do understand. And he told me, I'm going to paraphrase. He basically said, you know, I've never been bankrupt. I didn't grow up poor. And I've never really had any major life challenges. Am I still going to be able to get rich like you? That's really damn close to what he said to me. And I said, what do you mean? And he told me, well, all of you guys, you know, at the time I used to be somebody. I mean, that's, you know, back at the time, back, you know, between 2002 and 2007, I mean, I was somebody on the internet. And he said, all you guys that I see speaking at these conferences and reading your stuff, you know, all of you had something happen to you. You know, you overcame illness, overcame bankruptcy, overcame business failure, all this other stuff. And you use that as a springboard to become successful. Does that mean I have to go bankrupt before I can get rich? That's what he asked me. And I said to him, no, you don't have to do that. You can just borrow, learn from the lessons of other people. But what I also noticed is this person about 6 years later got in huge trouble with the IRS and lost everything. He had built everything up and then got in huge trouble with the IRS and basically lost everything and was lucky to get out of it without going to jail. Mm. So my point is that don't buy into that where you think I gotta fail. And then cause yourself to have some sort of failure or something that results in bad circumstances in your life. I mean, I've seen that where people, you know, I've actually seen people do it. But the biggest thing to understand is that when you fail, when you have a failure, that's basically something turns out the way you didn't want it to turn out. And you have an opportunity to interpret it a whole bunch of different ways. You can interpret it as that which does not kill me makes me stronger, because as I dig myself out of this cesspool, I'm naturally going to get stronger. I'm going to learn stuff. I'm going to make distinctions. One of the most important distinctions is you're going to learn how not to do that shit again. because there's a thing that I heard Wayne Dyer say, you know, everybody goes through a process of learning. I walk down the street, I see a hole, I fall in the hole, I climb and struggle out of the hole, I walk down a new street, I see a hole, I still fall in the hole, and I have to struggle my way out of the hole. I walk down another street, I see a hole, I walk around the hole, and I keep walking down the street. At some point, you got to learn how to not fall in the friggin' hole. And sometimes we have to learn through repetitive negative feedback. In other words, you can keep making that same mistake over and over, whether it's in relationships, it's with money, it's with your time, it's with your physical health, it's with your diet, all these things. We're constantly learning and relearning lessons. And it's when you finally learn that lesson once and for all, that's when the real change happens. And usually, to learn that lesson once and for all, it takes something like a bankruptcy judge making fun of you in court that I will never forget, and resolving that this is never going to happen again. It's looking at your wife who's crying, like, how are we going to pay these bills? And realizing that you can have all these dreams, but if you're not taking care of the everyday, you know, again, I'm paraphrasing badly, but I learned this from a audio program from a Tibetan monk who said, basically, seek enlightenment, carry water and firewood every day. In other words, you can seek enlightenment and all the great things that are going to come and success, but you still got to carry water every day, build a fire, cook the food, make sure everything's being handled in the short term. And so that's a lesson we got to learn too, is that we got to balance the short term, the medium term, and the long term. Yeah, you know, I got to balance saving for retirement and, you know, planning for the fact that I, you know, hopefully will make it to 95, 100 years old. But on the flip side, I can't live so far in the future, I forget to live today. On the flip side, you live so much in today, you to hell with the future, and then you end up, you know, running out of money before you run out of life, which would really suck. So there's all these lessons that we got to learn, and the pain of the lesson is what drives home the lesson. You know, I read a whole bunch about the people who are going into the French Foreign Legion, and actually strongly considered in 1991 going and joining the French Foreign Legion. I mean, like, I was investigating how to do it, what it took. I was starting to learn about French, you know, all kinds of stuff. And then I realized that you, and then when I learned that you had to give up your passport and there was some other stuff and there were just weird things going on, I said, I never want to be in a position where I might be at war with the U.S. So, or be in a position where I was on the opposite side of an issue, and I gave it up. But one of the things that I learned about their training, it was just totally brutal. Like, and one of the ways that you learn French was they beat the shit out of you when you got it wrong. And it was through this repetition of just physical pain that they got criminals to learn French and to follow orders and everything else. And I thought about, you know, at the time, you just look back and think about all the times that bad stuff happened and when you really learned something. Okay, another time, just real quick, to learn, just learn a lesson instantly. When I was in ROTC in school, in college, I just remember there was this one cadet, the guy who was actually the cadet commandant, or the cadet, the head cadet that semester.
Battalion commander.
Right. And we were doing this FTX, and we were supposed to learn the phonetic military alphabet: Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, Echo, Foxtrot, Golf, Hotel, India, Juliet, Kilo, Lima, Mike, November, Oscar, Papa, Quebec, Romeo, Sierra, Tango, Uniform, Victor, Whiskey, X-Ray, Yankee, Zulu.
Nice.
So I hadn't learned that. And so we're running around the confidence course and stuff. And I get to this guy's thing. He said, okay, get in the front leaning rest and give me the phonetic military alphabet. And I was like, Alpha Baker. It's wrong. Wrong. He kept me in the front. He taught me that alphabet in about 10 minutes. I was the first. I didn't know it, but I was doing death by push-ups. He kept me in that front leaning rest position until I learned it. And then he sought me out the rest of the weekend and made me get in the front leaning rest and do it wherever he found me. And I learned, I went from not knowing something to learning something as a result of being put in physical and mental stress in about 5 minutes. And it may not seem like much, but those lessons stick with you as far as the pain, discomfort. And by the way, that's not me urinating or anything. That's the ice machine that I'm in my wife's basement. There's an ice machine right there now, like in a hotel. I don't know why the hell she needs it to fill her cooler. So that's not me having an accident. The point, though, is that the lesson is learned fast when there is physical, mental, intense physical, mental, financial, spiritual stress and pain. That is when the lessons are learned the fastest. True. And I just went off on a whole bunch of random stuff, but it's something that I think about and have thought about a lot. You know, it's not enough to just learn the lesson from your life. It's to understand how and why you learned the lesson so that you can, so that you just understand how you work better. And I know that there are times when I need to go learn a lesson. That's why I signed up for this tough ruck marathon thing. That's why I'll do the go ruck stuff. That's why I'll torture myself through workouts and stuff that Stu gives me. That's why I'll purposely seek out pain to learn or reinforce a lesson and get rid of the bullshit that comes into my life, because sometimes living too easy makes you weak. And when you're weak, you start making mistakes and taking shortcuts. So I'm going to be quiet. I'm interested. I'd love to hear your take on this topic from your life and experience.
Well, there's a couple ways you can frame this. And I have been a big proponent of learning from other people's failures first and avoiding them. Right. Seeing what they did wrong and making my adjustments to that. Right. No matter what that was that they did.
Were you an only child?
No.
Did you have older brothers?
I have a younger sibling, younger sister. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I found that, you know, the more I can do that, the less that was painful for me, you know, and you can learn a lot. You know, you can learn what not to do. You can learn what to do, you know, things that you want to emulate. But there's also degrees of failure. If you're pretty good, like the guy you mentioned at the beginning, the guy that says, I just don't have any failure, right, to grow from. If you're just good at everything, I guarantee you take up something new, you're not going to be good at it at first. Right. So there is a journey of struggle that occurs to get good at things that may not be a particular failure yet. It is a failure if you quit it. But, you know, at the same time, if you just keep plugging along, you're going to get better at that. So that's another level of journey through a challenge that you may not have failed miserably in it, but you struggled to just be good. You know, try to go from bad to good at it, whether that is a physical event, it's a copywriting ability, writing ability, you know, whatever that is, you know, your ability to stand up in front of people and speak, you know, you get better at it the more often you do it.
Yeah.
So I find that to be a very big part of the journey towards success, even though it's not necessarily a failure. Maybe it's uncomfortable when you first start, but it becomes less uncomfortable to at a point where you become the master at it. I mean, when I first started swimming, you know, it was not very comfortable for me, especially, you know, longer distances and treading water and all that stuff. And then eventually I'm a teacher of it now, you know, so it's become a process that I've learned. I never failed anything like that at swimming, but at the same time, just never was good at it when you first started. So I think a lot of people can learn from, you're not going to be good at everything that you first start. There's a reason why you're sore when you work out for the first time in years, right? You're not going to be good at it at first, you know, and things, you just have to kind of move with it each one day at a time. And you create this journey of never quitting that right. eventually becomes a success. And the journey is valuable. That's where you learn all your valuable assets that move you forward.
I would actually say that the journey is the goal. Meaning, yeah. when we think about the things that we have accomplished, and especially if it was easy, nobody wants to hear about it. You think about every movie, everything's wonderful, everything's great. It's like, man, that's the crappiest movie ever. It's like, hey, that guy got punched in the face, and then they threw him off a train, then he got run over, and a dog pooped on him. And that was just in the first 5 minutes. It's like, oh, wow, I want to see that. It's the journey becomes the prize. It's who you become through the journey that has the only worth. You think about the prize or the money or other stuff, and I know this sounds it's easy to say, but it's true. When you don't have any money, it's still just pretty much zeros on a bank statement, just not enough. When you do have money, it's just more zeros. But at the end, it's who you are as a person, who you feel yourself to be as a result of going through the struggle, going through the just through everything, and who you are, and then who you continue to be. Like on Monday, just and finding strength in weird places, or finding strength in places where you never thought you would in the past. Workout Stu gave me on Monday, he sneaks in this little thing at the end, and for the grand finale, who the hell says that in a workout, by the way, Stu Smith? And it's like, and for the grand finale, I'm like, oh shit, I don't even want to read this. And it's like, yeah, just do a 10-to-1 ladder down, pull, push. And I'm like, for real? And so then I even wrote in the thing, okay, did in the PM. I was going to do this at the end. I mean, I was doing this later in the day. And then I took the dogs out and I'm like, crap. How fast do you think I could get this done? I'm already warmed up. I already less hurt. Might minutes. As well just less get it done. I did cool. it in 7 minutes and 34 seconds. I did oh, that. Good. I did that thing. And nice. It was like, crap. So my point is that is more in 7 minutes and 34 seconds than I used to be able to do in an hour long workout when I was fat and 40. So it's like that. And then at the end, it was like, man, this sucks, but I feel really good because I have something to compare and contrast it to. And that's another thing, is exactly what Stu said. Those words of wisdom of do something you're not good at. So it will give you the feeling of humility, the feeling of, hey, my shit does stink somewhere. And so I can compare and contrast and feel good and use it as a springboard in other areas, as opposed to, man, everything's going great. I wonder when, you know, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Something bad's going to happen sooner or later, you know, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So by not having your life be perfect, you can compare and contrast and use it to grow. Because if everything's great, you don't grow. If everything's wonderful, you don't grow. And that's important.
Well, let me bring this full circle, Jim.
Please do, Stu. Oh, wow, right. Man, we've been talking for a while
yeah.
here.
Yeah, so when I first opened up the Jim Edwards Method and started mm-hmm. playing around with the wizards, you know, mm-hmm. it wasn't easy. I mm-hmm. wasn't comfortable doing it, mm-hmm. right? And I got better at doing it. And I found comfort in the hidden persuasion wizard. I don't know why. I bring it up all the time because it was just my first one that I finally figured out.
Okay. Right?
And it was just the one that I was able to use, use the sales copy in it in a way that I wasn't necessarily comfortable doing regularly when selling my own products. Because I'd use the hidden persuasion wizard for kind of like a book review.
Okay.
Of my own product. And it works really well. And that was a growth process that helped me really get better at all the others, you know. And then next thing I know, I'm using the Jim Edwards Method wizards to make all kinds of content. And that are really good blog posts that were shared on social media hundreds of times. And, you know, it really hit, you know, those numbers, you know, at the end of the week where I was like, wow, this is a big difference from just posting up an article and letting people read it. I mean, it had a powerful punch to it, which all I'm saying is that it was uncomfortable going in there trying to figure it out. It was something new. And I was, you know, at least you got to be open up to learn how to use those things and then apply them so much that it becomes just like your second nature. Now you just go into the wizard, fill it out, and, you know, whack the button, and then you figure it out. So,
yeah,
you know, that was just a way I wanted to just kind of bring it back to, you know, getting better at your sales copy. And since this is a sales copy content marketing, content writing podcast.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. So anyway, it's been kind of one of those growth things for me as well.
Sure. Well, the big thing to understand is that the great thing about copy, sales copy, is that it's never right or wrong. It's just good, better, best. And the fact that you're even just trying, you qualify as good. All right. And the old thing of well, if you use the wizards, you can really suck if you're not using the wizards. I'm going to be honest with you. It can really suck, and you're going to get beaten down. So the great thing is that if you use a wizard, you use funnel scripts, you use Jim Edwards Method Premium, you use Traffic Secret scripts, Fill My Webinar scripts, you're going to be immediately at good because you've plugged just, oh man, we're going to bring this full circle. Just like Stu likes to learn from other people and their mistakes. The great thing about the wizards is it lets you plug your thoughts into what other people have already figured out works. You're able to literally plug into proven frameworks. So then you're at good. And then all you have to do is just test, tweak, edit. That takes you to better. And then best is when you can't make it any better. And then you grow and you move. But the great thing is that sales copy, man, is perfect for what we're talking about here, with the quote unquote failure and success and all that, because if it doesn't work, something that you create in sales copy, if it doesn't work, you can look at it as total failure. You suck. It's time to put on the hairnet and ask, would you like fries with that? And perhaps a hot, fresh apple pie. Or you can say, you know what? That didn't work. Let me try something else. That didn't work. Let me try something else. Hey, that sort of worked. Let me take this and tweak it and mess with it and make it better and better and better. And you literally, again, with sales copy, with every failure is sown the seed of a potential massive success. But it's up to you to feed it, water it, prune it, see if you can make it work. So I think that's a wonderful way to tie this back around into it, Stu. Well done.
Thank you, sir.
All righty. Well, we enjoyed having you all today. I hope you enjoyed being had. And that's all we got. So make sure, if you're not a member of the Sales Copywriting Content Marketing Hacks podcast, or excuse me, Sales Copywriting Content Marketing Hacks group on Facebook, you should be. Go ahead and join us over on Facebook. If you would like to have access to my amazing wizards, go check out thejimedwardsmethod.com, or you can check out funnelscripts.com, or you can check out fillmywebinarsecrets.com, or you can go to Traffic Secrets scripts.com, or you can go to, I mean, this man, we're going ape with these, with these scripts. We're doing great. We've got big things are a brewing, Stu.
Yep. Yeah. My final thing is, let's make Stu's job easier by giving us ideas on what to talk about next week.
Yeah. Like ask put it questions.
In the comments.
Yeah.
Put it in the comments. We'd love to hear them.
And so, Stu actually checks them. Me, not so much. No, I'm just playing. Stu checks for the ideas and stuff.
Yep.
And they help us. So if you want us to talk about something, let us know. So, Stu, we are going to end with, we do this on the Jim and Steen show and the Monday Madness. We're going to end with a polka today, Stu.
Bye-bye, everybody!